host on TSN 1040 in Vancouver. Matt Sakaris joins. Matty, how are you, my man?
Good afternoon, Jason. Yes, and on behalf of Vancouver and Canucks fans, thank you to Bob Nicholson and the Oilers for the roster they sent out here. I mean, we were stunned this morning when we looked down the piece of paper and saw all these big names from the Oilers on the road, of all places. I mean, as you know, season ticket holders loathe these games, right? Because yeah. You get charged full ticket for something that typically isn't the real meal deal here. So we were just delighted to see that Connor was playing, and of course Milan back in his hometown, first game and all that. This is quite extraordinary from the Oil to dress a lineup like this. Do you know what's behind it, Jason? Is there a reason why they've been so been so gracious here to dress a real NHL lineup on the road?
Because Todd McClellan wants this team, and he knows this team has to have a good start. And yeah. Lucic and McDavid and Eberle have only really had one day of practice together because McDavid was at the World Cup of Hockey, and so he wants them to get some continuity. That's the main reason for that line, for sure. Maroon, and it was supposed to be Yakupov and not Versteeg, but Yakupov tweaked something in the morning skate, so he's out. The Nugent Hopkins line will play on the road on Friday. He didn't want to wait, I think, until the last week where they have all their home games, because they're on the road tonight, they're on the road on Friday, and technically they're on the road on Sunday in Vernon for Craftville. So that's probably part of it, but really it comes down to McClellan's willingness and the urgency for this team to have a good month of October, Matt, because I look at their schedule. They got 9 games in October, no back-to-backs. They actually have a few games with 2 days between games. They don't leave the country. They don't leave Western Canada. 6 home games and road stints in Vancouver, Calgary, and Winnipeg. This team has a really heavy road schedule from November until the end of February. They have to have a good start in October, and I think McClellan recognizes that. So he's looking for chemistry right away, and it starts in preseason in his books.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, and you guys can check this, I do believe Dennis Green, when he took over the Minnesota Vikings years ago, it's got to be 20-plus years ago, said, we're going to put a premium on these preseason games. Winning starts with the first one. We want to inculture winning into this organization. And I think they went out, went 4-0 in preseason, and had a pretty good season. So if that's Todd McClellan saying, hey, you know, we're going to treat every single game as a winning opportunity based on what's gone on here for the last decade, then here, and bravo. And once again, thank you for those of us here in Vancouver who were astonished to know this morning that we're going to get a chance to see the biggest marquee draw in hockey, Connor McDavid, tonight.
Now, the Canucks, their best line, of course, I'm not even sure if they're back skating yet with the team or not, the three Swedes.
No.
So that's obviously why they're not there. But I look down their lineup, and usually for home games, you'll give your fans, you know, a decent mix of some of your guys. And really, you know, Burrows and Dorsett, and I'm not sure, is Sutter for sure going to play?
Yeah, I think Sutter's going to play. The problem is their whole top line, the Sedins and Eriksson, just got back into town yesterday. They just did some light off-ice work this morning. They're still missing Yannick Hansen and Lucas Fiza, who are on Team Europe. They are going to give the fans here the goalies they want to see, or at least two of them, with Ryan Miller and Thatcher Demko. They're a great prospect because Jacob Markstrom just got back into it this morning. I think he actually did some on-ice work, but he's just back from Team Sweden as well. So, yeah, this isn't typically, you know, as good a lineup as you would typically dress at home, at least for the first preseason game at home. And so that's why it makes what Edmonton's doing in the lineup they're dressing even more crucial to the interest value around here. As a matter of fact, guys, our understanding as of right now is that with the Sedins and Eriksson, and I think this is probably going to go for Hansen as well when he comes back from Team Europe, they only plan to get those guys into a game or two out of the 7 or 8 they're going to play this preseason. So it is not going to be a heavy preseason schedule for some of the Vancouver Canucks veterans. And part of the reason is, well, at least in the Twins' case, they're quite old.
Yeah.
And they've already logged a few games at the World Cup of Hockey, and so the way that Jim Benning, the GM, and Willie Desjardins, the head coach, view it, they just say, look, they've had their preseason games. We don't need to dress them all that much.
Matt Sakaris joins us from Vancouver. Now, Matt, it was interesting. A lot of the prognosticators are picking the Canucks to be one of the worst teams in the Western Conference. Now, their defense, I actually think is I like a lot of their defense. I really like Tanev, and I think Hutton's got some upside. I'm probably one of the few who likes what Gabranson brings. But is it just a lack of depth after the top line, or do you see, like, out of their six forwards that are going to sprinkle in on lines two and three, who do you think has the best potential to actually produce some legit points out of those six forwards?
Well, assuming Erickson plays with the Twins, we're all thinking that Bo Horvat, Sven Berchi, and Yannick Hansen will likely be the second line. And then the third line right now is very much up in the air. I mean, Brandon Sutter's going to be the center. The question is, who are going to be the wingers? Does Alex Burrows get a promotion from where he ended last year on the fourth line because of his experience? Does Anton Rodin, who was one of the best players in the Swedish Elite League last year, step in onto that third line? Does Jake Virtanen, the sophomore season now, step up and earn a gig there? Does Brendan Gaunce, a former first-round pick of theirs, surprise everybody and get a spot on the third line? It's unclear right now. What I would say to you is that they anticipate that Bo Horvat can do a better job of picking up where he left off last year. He was terrific in the second half and dreadful in the first half. And Sven Berchi had a tremendous summer. He came back to camp in fantastic shape. He looks faster. He looks more confident. So they're really counting on Sven Berchi and Bo Horvat to pick up their offense. Of course, they're hoping for another 2022 goal season from Yannick Hansen, although that's probably asking a little too much because he played with the Twins for the bulk of last year. Guys, they finished second from the bottom in scoring last year, and boy, have times changed since the days of 2011, 2012 when they were a very high-scoring team. And I perceive that scoring could be an issue again this season.
If the Canucks struggle this season, is Jim Benning on a short leash? Is he on the hot seat?
I think the coach is on the first hot seat.
Okay.
And we'll see how... and we'll see how bad it gets. I think it would have to be a very bad year for them to make a move on Jim Benning. I think it would be have to be the sort of year that some of the odds makers are forecasting, and that is last in the NHL or second last in the NHL, desperately out of the playoffs, and not having shown a whole lot of signs of progress from some of the young forwards, so that at least you have some hope going forward. They hired Jim Benning knowing full well that they had a cup window. They went for it. They peeled a bunch of draft picks and young players. It didn't happen, and that it was going to take some time. Now, in this market, as fickle as it is, you do have to sort of pay homage to going to the, you know, taking your best crack at the playoffs year in, year out. And that, you know, has some people here saying, hey, you know, they don't understand what their vision is, whether it's to win or to rebuild. This year, the coaches said, look, our plan, our focus, our vision is to try and win. We'll see where that goes. But if, in fact, it doesn't come to pass, I have a hard time believing the head coach is going to keep his job. The general manager, you know, as you know, Jason, it tends to be like this. They tend to get a bit of a longer leash.
Matt, is Jake Virtanen going to make that club, or is he better suited to be in the American League?
He may well be better suited to play in the American League, Jason, because I do think he could get a lot out of playing, you know, 18, 20 minutes a night on a top scoring line and power play and all sorts, you know, all that jazz. But the problem is they do not have a lot of bigger, more physical forwards who can get in on the forecheck, hammer defense, or wear defense down, stand in the net front and take the abuse. Virtanen's one of their biggest bodies, you know, despite the fact he's only 20 years old. So for all those reasons, I think it's at least a 75% bet, if not closer to 90, that he makes the team. If he were to have a dreadful camp, and he did hurt his shoulder last night in San Jose in a preseason game, and it's a shoulder that's given him trouble in the past, and if that sets him back, then, you know, everything is up in the air here. But I would be surprised if Jake Virtanen isn't on the team in some capacity at the end of training camp.
On the back end, is Hutton going to play with – do you think that's the pairing, and then they'll have Tanev and Edler on their top line?
Yeah. Tanev and Edler as the first defense pairing and Hutton and Goodbranson as the second pairing. They think they might be onto something with Hutton and Goodbranson. And look, Hutton has to prove that he's, you know, not a one-year wonder and can take the next step forward. And Goodbranson has to prove that he can play in the West and be that lockdown defender and, frankly, give them a little bit offensively, you know, if not in goals and assists, then at least in the transitioning of the puck. But that is the pair for them to be the second defense unit out. And then, boy, Jason, you say that you like their defense. I think they have some interesting guys on defense who may step up. But as of right now, the third pair looks like it's Lucas Spezza with Philip Larson. Of course, Larson, a former Oiler, and they made the trade for his rights when he was over in the KHL last year. Larson had a bit of a tough time last night in his first NHL game in several years. He's, as you know, Jason, he may offer you some offense, some power play, quarterback ability, and all that, but defending with him might be an adventure. And Lucas Spezza is coming off a year where defending was a bit of an adventure for him. So it may be a shuffle of a whole lot of bodies on the third pair as the season goes along.
Yeah, I should have said I like their top four because you're right. Their third pairing is not great. Now, Pierre McGuire, though, come on, man. He came out and said that Larson's like a cheap – is like a poor man's Erik Karlsson.
Well, and that was on my show, and I think he was quick to add, look, what I mean is when he has the puck, when they're on the power play, he has some skills that are similar to Karlsson, but, of course, not quite like Karlsson. When they don't have the puck or when he doesn't have the puck, I do believe that's where the comparisons end.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I always kind of chuckle at that one. And I saw Philip Larson here, and you know what? He could be a specialist who maybe can run your power play, but then you're going to have to hide him in your third pairing to even strength. And you're going to have a third pairing partner. You know, ideally, that's where they'd want a veteran. And Spezza is a guy who, you know what, he always kind of leaves you wanting more, right? Like the few other organizations, he was drafted high. And what is it about Spezza that just hasn't improved in his game?
Well, he struggles a little bit with the puck, Jason. He's a bigger guy. He's physical. There were times last year when he had his mindset to play physically where he gave them something. Of that, there's no doubt. He's got decent mobility for a bigger man, and he's got a terrific attitude. He comes into issues that when he makes a poor decision with the puck, it tends to have a lingering effect. On the nights where he's off, he's really off. And so it costs goals or it costs chances. It costs him ice time. It shortens the bench. And that's what, you know, that's the thing that could really kill them this year. I mean, if things are going well for the Vancouver Canucks, it probably means that Lucas Spezza and whoever he plays with, whether that's Philip Larson or the big Russian Nikita Trampkin or even somebody else, it probably means that those guys have found a way to be at least a stable, reliable defensive pair that if they don't play huge minutes, that's fine. But the minutes that they do play are sort of worry-free, mistake-free, catastrophe-free in your own zone. You know, if they were to get that sort of just stable, you know, 15 minutes out of the third pair, then I think the Canucks have a chance of competing for a playoff spot this year. If it becomes like it did at different times last year, where the third pair is either not very reliable or you're experimenting with bodies because you're just looking for someone who can give you a good game, that's going to be a huge issue for the Canucks.
And one last one quickly, Matt, for goaltending. Jim Benning came out and said, hey, Ryan Miller's the starter for sure. Do you agree with that? And how long do you think before maybe Markstrom pushes him out of the number one starting job?
I agree with that because Ryan Miller is certainly going to get the opportunity to open as the number one. Although, Jason, they are playing so many back-to-backs early, so many three and four nights, and it may be the same with the Oilers because of this. It really is a compressed schedule because of the week-long break they're now giving teams in the World Cup of Hockey. Jacob Martin is going to wind up playing a whole lot of games in the early going anyways. So I almost think it could happen early in the season here, depending on how good Ryan Miller is. And quite frankly, Ryan Miller was pretty decent last year, especially in front of a defense that oftentimes left him hung out to dry. But the big development for the Canucks, and one of the better developments for the Canucks, particularly at the end of last year, was that Jacob Markstrom really came into his own as an NHL goaltender. He started winning some starts away from Miller. They effectively were in a 50-50 rotation for the final month or so of the season. And if Markstrom, who had a terrific opener for Team Sweden at the World Cup of Hockey before he gave way to Henrik Lundqvist, if he can start the way he played that game and the way he ended last year, I think you could very easily see something along the lines of 50-50 from almost the get-go. Pretty much the entirety of the season could be 50-50 if Markstrom starts well or if Miller starts poorly.
Yeah, see, what's crazy about the compressed schedule, Matt, the Oilers, I think, have the fewest or the second fewest back-to-back games. Like, I actually could see Cam Talbot. I'd play him all nine games in October because they have so much time off in that month.
Wow. And,
yeah, like, they only have one back-to-back, I think, early in November in the first 5 weeks of the season. So, yeah, the Oilers kind of got lucky in that sense, although they play 33 out of 55 games on the road between November 1st and February 28th, which is really likely going to make or break their season.
Yeah, and conversely, Jason, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but you know, I do believe my broadcast partner Blake Price the other day said something along the lines of he could see Markstrom, even if he was just a pure backup, getting something like six starts by Grey Cup or six starts by U.S. Thanksgiving because of the way the Canucks schedule goes. So really seems like a tale of two schedules in that regard. But you know, as far as the Canucks go, you know, in terms of the goaltending, I wouldn't be too concerned about the back-to-back. I'd be a little bit more concerned about some of the older forwards they're playing and those guys holding up in back-to-backs early in the season, knowing just how compressed this year is and how much you're going to need them late in the year if, in fact, you are fighting for a playoff spot.
Matt, always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate you coming on in short notice. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure, Jason. Always a good time. Thanks, Bo.